9. In Trump's orbit, the president's 36-year-old son-in-law, Jared Kushner, occupied a unique central role. He was officially listed on the White House roster as senior advisor, but acted as a de facto chief of staff. He would come to outstay three actual ones, and was deeply involved in presidential business. Kushner graduated from Harvard in 2003 and had a combined JD-MBA degree from New York University. Intelligent, organized, self-confident, and arrogant, Kushner was often deployed personally by Trump as an out-of-channels special project officer. In the first months of his administration in 2017, Trump asked Kushner to take on some of the most important and sensitive parts of the foreign policy portfolio, including acting as his liaison with Saudi Arabia and with both Mexico and China on trade issues. He also assigned Kushner the job of resolving the eternal conflict between the Israelis and Palestinians. This immediately sidelined Secretary of State Rex Tillerson and interfered with his and Mattis's plans to guide or control Trump on foreign policy. If Kushner could not find a Middle East peace plan, nobody can, Trump said. Kushner didn't. He presented four or five versions of his plans to Tillerson, who increasingly voiced skepticism. On one version, Kushner proposed Israel take the Jordan Valley, a 65-mile-long tract of land along the border between Jordan to the east and Israel, including much of the West Bank, to the west. "That'll never fly," Tillerson told him. So out it came, only to go back in the plan later. Tillerson thought Kushner relied too much on economic development and ignored all the hard issues between Israel and Palestine. "If you make the economic benefits big enough," Kushner argued, "people will say yes." Money was the key. Just pump money. Trump talked that way also. Tillerson told Kushner he did not understand the history. "These people are not going to care about your money," he said. "Or they'll take your money, and 5 years from now, you'll be right back where you are today. That's not going to buy you peace." Kushner strongly disputes this and believes he developed an original, balanced plan for peace between Israel and the Palestinians. He concluded Tillerson was not up to the job of being Secretary of State and resented Kushner's 20-year relationship with Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu. For his part, Tillerson thought Kushner's dealings with Netanyahu were nauseating to watch. It was stomach-churning. On Monday, May 22, 2017, Trump was in Tel Aviv, meeting with Netanyahu at the King David Hotel. It was the second stop, after Saudi Arabia, on Trump's first international trip as president. Jared Kushner ran out to grab Tillerson. "You've got to go in there," an aide said. "They're showing the president this video. It's awful. The president's just exploding. You've got to go in there and calm the president down." By this point, there was enough distrust between Tillerson and the White House that Tillerson didn't know whether Kushner was play-acting or even setting him up. But he went into the Trump-Netanyahu meeting. "Watch this," Trump said. "This is unbelievable. You've got to see this." They played the video again for Tillerson. It showed a series of spliced-together comments from Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas, who was supposed to be Israel's partner in the peace deal that Kushner was trying to put together. It sounded like Abbas was ordering the murder of children. Tillerson believed it was faked or manipulated, taking words and sentences out of context and stringing them together. "And that's the guy you want to help?" Netanyahu said. Tillerson studied the video, a crude effort of short snippets that had no context. After Netanyahu left, Tillerson said to Trump, "Mr. President, you realize that that whole thing was fabricated." "Well," Trump said, "it's not fabricated. They got the guy on tape saying it." Trump had always supported Israel, but had recently begun expressing doubts about Netanyahu and wondering aloud if the Israeli prime minister might be the real problem. Trump had even earlier said to Netanyahu on a Washington visit that he believed he was the obstacle to peace, not Abbas. It was Tillerson's view that Netanyahu had manufactured the tape to counter any pro-Palestinian sentiments that were surfacing. The next morning, Trump met privately with Abbas and his people in Bethlehem and unloaded in a tirade. "Murderer," Trump said to Abbas. "Liar. I thought you were this grandfatherly figure that I could trust. Now I realize you're nothing but a murderer. You tricked me." Kushner disputes all of this and recalled that the president's reaction to the tape was much calmer. "Now," Trump finally said to Abbas, "we're going to go outside because they've got all the press out there. I'm going to say some nice things about you, and you're going to say some nice things about me. But now you know how I feel." Abbas went first before the press and played his part. "Your Excellency, Mr. President, and dear friend Donald Trump," Abbas said, "it's my pleasure to welcome you here in Palestine and receive you as a great guest of our people here in Bethlehem, the birthplace of Jesus. I would like to reiterate, Your Excellency, Mr. President, our commitment to cooperate with you in order to make peace and forge a historic peace deal with the Israelis." When his turn came, Trump said, "I want to offer my deep appreciation to the Palestinians and President Abbas for hosting me today." Trump eventually ordered the closure of the Palestinian Liberation Organization office in Washington, D.C. in September 2018 and canceled nearly all U.S. aid to the West Bank and Gaza, as well as $360 million in annual aid previously given to the U.N. Agency for Palestinian Refugees.